Hello again, it's Patrick Kelly, Kansas Wrestling Coaches Association President and Head Coach at Seaman High School. In today's podcast, we'll be visiting with Colby High School Head Coach Matt Sims. Colby is one of a handful of programs in the state of Kansas that anyone in the know would point to as having one of the deepest histories and traditions. The Eagles won a state title in 1936 under Richard Fowler, and again in 1951 with Leo Thompson as head coach. In 1958, just 2 years after the establishment of Keisha, they won again under the leadership of Kyle Mines. Colby took a several decades break from their title runs, but Mitch Bimes brought the glory back with the 2001 state title before Coach Sims won his recent championships in 2009 and last season. Also of interesting note is the fact that Colby hosted the state tournament several times in the early years. Last February, Coach Sims and his Eagles left Salinas Bicentennial Center with Colby's sixth state title and second in Coach Sims' decade at the helm. His 2009 team captured the title by a comfortable 8.5-point cushion over Clay Center. Last year's team won in impressive fashion with a 29-point gap over runner-up El Dorado. For his efforts, Coach Sims was named KWCA 4A Coach of the Year by his peers. With us on the line today is Coach Sims. Coach, welcome to the program. It's an honor to visit with you.
Yeah, it's an honor to be here. I appreciate it.
All right, tell us a little bit about your wrestling background. Take us from your start in the sport to your hire at Colby.
I guess I was, I probably started wrestling by first or second grade in Stratton, Colorado. We had a little kids program there. It's probably not as elaborate as the Kansas kids. I think maybe we wrestled 5-6 tournaments a year, and then we were done. There was real no state series, but I continued that on into middle school. Actually, I always tell people when I was an eighth grader, I was going to be a basketball player. I thought that was, we kind of lived in a basketball town. But then I looked in my mirror. I was 95 pounds and 5'2" and thought being the 100 pounder at the time would have been an okay deal. So now I'm glad I stuck with it. After high school, though, I never continued on and wrestled in college. I moved to Colby kind of in the middle of, I graduated in December and started teaching in January of 2003. And the next year I helped Mitch Bimes for 3 years. And then after that interview, I was, or after he had left for to take the AD job, I took over the program from there. So and that would have been in 2006. So I went to the University of Nebraska-Kearney, did not wrestle there. Graduated from there in December in 2002 with a middle school math degree. I taught at the middle school here since last year, and then I moved to the high school last year.
Okay, I got you. So tell us about your time with Coach Bimes. He has quite a history, and really, as I talked about in the intro, brought a state title to Colby back in 2001, I believe it was, after many years of not having a state title there. So what kind of influence did he have on you?
He was a real good influence on me. Kind of groomed me for the position. I always kind of felt like, looking back on it, put a lot of things in my, that I had to do as an assistant, just little things like entering stats, or it might be just taking care of injuries and stuff like that. And at the time, I thought, I kind of felt it was like, I'm just a new guy, or, it's just something he doesn't want to do. And he kind of made me speak at some of the end of the year awards banquets and, a lot of that stuff about JV guys. So all that stuff he put on me prepared me kind of for the job. And then even after I got the job, I made a lot of phone calls to him just to bounce my ideas off, get a little mentorship. So he's very instrumental, one of the keys for me, one of the great influences I've had. So,
all right, very good. It's a good segue into the next question. So I'm not sure too many coaches in the history of the sport in Kansas have a 10-year run like you've had. Two state titles, back-to-back runner-up finishes in 2012 and 2013, a third-place trophy in 2008. The other five seasons include 3 fifth-place finishes, a seventh-place, and an eighth-place finish. That is 10 consecutive years in the Elite Eight. What is your recipe for success?
I don't know. First and foremost, one of my favorite things, one of my favorite Bible scriptures is, "In all, lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." And I kind of felt like I've kind of always tried to do that I haven't been perfect at it, but I definitely try and put God first in my life, and I give a lot of things to Him. And so, you know, I think He kind of provides me some understanding of people, some understanding of, you know, how to handle certain situations when I might not handle it the best. So that's the first and foremost thing. You know, my parents have been a great influence to me. Grandparents, aunts, uncles, all those people kind of helped guide me. I grew up around, I was the oldest of all the grandchildren. So I grew up around adults, and all those people were great influence. Coming to Colby, though, I've had another great influence in Larry Gable. My first couple years there, he set me down, said guys weren't improving the way he thought they should. And, you know, him being a Hall of Fame coach, I kind of had to take a look at some things. He provided me some ideas, and they kind of reaffirmed some ideas that I had that maybe I wasn't confident enough to implement. And he kind of gave me the reassurance to do that. And, you know, then just Colby's just I tell people all the time, it's a wrestling town. And if you grow up in Colby, you should wrestle, because the kids program for all these number of years, I mean, since the 90s, has done a great job, probably before that. It's just as far back as I know some of them guys. They've done a great job of producing kids who know good fundamentals. And so when they enter our program at the high school level, we can kind of just pick up from there and just getting them interested in the sport. And I've got a great group of assistants, too. You know, I put a lot on them guys. Rick Williams has helped me since for all 10 years. He was also under Bynes. I send the big guys to him a lot, and he does a lot of altering practice plans for them, because there's some things we're going to ask our 20-pounder, 120-pounder to do that we're not going to ask our 220 to do. And so we kind of alter that. It's kind of all pre-planned and well thought out. And Ed Schmidt, he's a four-time All-American. He brings a lot of stuff in there, and brought a lot of hard-nosed stuff in for us, and does a good job with developing young talent. And then Cole Garcia, the young guy, a former Colby State champ, he's been asked to work out with guys, maybe individually, just because it gives us the best ability. So all of those things kind of go into this, and really, it's just a great place to work for me. I wouldn't trade my assistants for anything. They do a heck of a job. So,
well, Coach, that's good stuff. That's a seminar's worth of information there. And you're doing it right. Good thoughts there. When setting up this interview, you mentioned that you are a football coach as well. That makes for a demanding schedule, but I'm sure it also has advantages of getting to know the kids and maybe even picking up a recruit or two. What is your viewpoint on multi-sport participation for our high school student athletes?
I think it's vital. I think, you know, kids always tell me, oh, I'm just going to lift in the off season. And, you know, the thing is I don't think that those weights ever fight back. you just put whatever you want on there and lift it. And so, you know, I think just being in competitive moments. I mean, actually, you know, I coach football, and then I go to wrestling, and then I actually coach golf in the spring. So
Oh, wow.
I'm kind of busy year round. So my wife, I told my wife I was going to give one of them up, and she said no, because I might just stay home and drive her crazy. So she said if I – so I get to impact a lot of kids there. I get to know a lot of kids there. I teach freshman algebra, so that does help me pick up some recruits and getting those in there. But in a small school like Colby, we've got to have every kid out for three sports. We don't do that like we should, but – boy, it helps all the programs out and kind of becomes a nice family unit if it works out the way it does. So, but, you know, like I said, I think the more and more you look at college recruiters, the more and more you see them guys wanting three-sport athletes. I just think it helps a person being a part of different sports, different teams, learning to get along with different people, learning vital things from them. So, I mean, I'd be remiss to say that, you know, outside of all the wrestling, I think a real goal here is I worry about the next generation of males and who they're going to be and how hardworking are they going to be and different things like that. And I think just me getting to do that in three sports, I can contact more kids. Not saying you always make a dent, but hopefully, you know, you help that situation out.
Well, I had the opportunity to work under your principal, Troy Kieswetter, when he was head coach at Seaman. How much does it matter to have an administrator that is supportive and knowledgeable in the sport of wrestling, especially when it comes to running such events like regionals or your highly regarded Eagle Duels two-day multi-venue tournament?
Yeah, I've been fortunate. I mean, like I said, Larry Gable was my athletic director for years. Troy just stepped in here a couple years ago, but he's done a great job. And having those guys in place is, like you said, it's just so vital. I mean, they just step in and help with running the tournaments. They step in and just help with logistics, you know, because there's things wrestling programs need that maybe to the outside guy who's never been involved in it doesn't even understand it, you know. Well, why do they need to leave early? Why do they need to work out the day before? Or, you know, just different things like that that you might battle in a school setting. Those guys kind of alleviate some of that, and they're able to provide the picture without you having to step in there. And so, I mean, and just having those guys around just to bounce ideas off of. I mean, because I think you can learn from anyone. So it's just been, like I said, it's a great place to work for in that aspect for those, with those guys there. They do a great job. I respect them a whole lot.
Yeah, well, great. Yeah, and Coach Kieswetter, or Coach as I call him, can attest that I bounced a lot of ideas off him during our plan period for sure. So how are things looking this season? Who do you have returning, and what newcomers do you expect to make an impact?
Well, we lost 11 seniors. Eight of them were varsity wrestlers. Made a big part of that at state team, and so those guys are going to be sorely missed. But we do have a couple juniors who were in the state finals last year. Tate Carney at 120 and Ethan Jay at 285 pounds, both state runner-up. So they're going to kind of lead a young crew. We've got a good freshman bunch coming in. But we also had a couple juniors in there that maybe didn't make it to the state tournament. Sean Rawl, who's put in a pretty good summer of wrestling. We also had Travis Finley, who will be a senior this year as well. He actually just couldn't make the team at 152 pounds last year, partly due because there was a state qualifier at 145, a match from placing, a state qualifier at 152, a match from placing, and a state placer at 160, and he just couldn't find him a spot in there. So I think, you know, those four guys being seniors will bump some things up. And then our young kids, you know, we're just going to have to find a way to get better and reach our potential.
All right. So looking at the rest of 4A, what does the competition look like for the upcoming season? It seems like the last few years in 4A, the forecast has looked a little unclear almost until the dust settled at the Bicentennial Center on Saturday.
Boy, that is true. I would say that 4A becomes very unclear. If you can find a way to get five or six guys to place, you're probably in the hunt, probably should win it. There's just so much parity involved and so many programs out there doing a good job that you might be able to go and wrestle the last five state tournaments. You might be able to wrestle them 10 times and they all turn out a different way. It's just kind of the way that thing's built. And so just by the end of the season, it's whoever hits and whoever's hot and whoever's healthy in some cases, that all comes into it. But, boy, I mean, I love wrestling in 4A. I think it's a fun event, and it's a good fraternity of coaches also. But it's just a real competitive, hard-fought state tournament, regional tournament. There's always tough regionals out there where good kids aren't even at the state tournament. So 4A is, it's just, let's see what happens when the dust settles.
It's been a pleasure to carve out some time to get to know your takes and congratulate you on the Coach of the Year honor from last season. Good luck with the big Eagles versus Eagles matchup on the gridiron tonight in Hugoton. With both teams garnering attention in 4A Division II, I'm sure it'll be packed house. Also, good luck with the upcoming wrestling season.
Thank you. Thank you for your time. We got a big game tonight against Hugoton. They beat us last year in the playoffs, so it's kind of become a rivalry match. But we're looking forward to it. And just wanted to thank the KWCA, all the board members, and everything you guys do. It's a great organization. You do a lot of things for us, and we appreciate what you guys do. So thanks again.
I also want to take the opportunity to congratulate the other Coach of the Year honorees. Garden City's Carlos Prieto won the 6A honor along with the National Wrestling Coaches Association Award for Kansas. In 5A, it was Goddard's Brett Means, whose Lions won a state title in addition to cracking the national rankings this year. The 3-2-1A honoree was a familiar name in Norton's Billy Johnson. Assistant Coach of the Year honors went to the group from Manhattan in 6A, Sean Bamas, Rob Robson, and Mike Miller. In 5A, it was Tate Lowe, Benny Armstrong, Jordan Dahl, and Jeremy LeDuc from Valley Center. The 4A honor went to Coach Sim's staff from Colby, Rick Williams, Ed Schmidt, and Cole Garcia. The winner in 3-2-1A were Shane Miller, Tony Fiscus, and Eric Johnson of Norton. The KWCA Middle School Coaches of the Year were Adam Polanski of Republic County and Corey Wirtz of Monticello Trails Middle School. The Kansas Coaches Association also awards a Coach of the Year. This year's recipient is West Elk's Kevin Weber. I mentioned earlier that Garden City's Carlos Prieto was awarded the National Wrestling Coaches Association Coach of the Year Award. That organization also recognizes an Assistant Coach of the Year. This year, Cade Blair of Andover is the recipient of that award. Finally, I want to give a special KWCA shout-out to Clay Lout. The St. James Academy senior competed in the Cadet World Championships this week in Tbilisi, Georgia. He represented Kansas well along with the United States. He was the only U.S. Greco wrestler to win a match at the Worlds, and he did it in impressive fashion over his credentialed Bulgarian foe. The final score was Lout head pinch, Bulgarian 2. It was actually 8-2, but if you see the match, you will understand what I mean. There is also a great picture of Clay during the match on the USA Wrestling website, themat.com. He lost his next match in the quarters to the Turk, who failed to make the finals, thus ending the competition for Clay. The Tar Heels of North Carolina are getting a good one in Clay Lout. Congratulations, Clay. You represented us well. It's time to get your registration in for the 2016 KWCA Fall Clinic and Leadership Academy, October 7th through the 8th in Salina. That's all for this edition of the KWCA Podcast. Until next time, thanks for listening.